Hello, and welcome back to the Parent Pick Me Up podcast on the Raider Media Podcast Network. Today I want to talk about a topic that you may have heard about, but I want to sort of hit a few specific points that I think help us to frame the conversation so that we can make decisions about how do we respond to it. And that is that if the product is free, we are the product. Another way to look at it is, how are all these billion and trillion dollar technology companies making so much money providing free platforms? And the way they do that is they sell our attention. Now, a lot of times I know there's this fear of they're selling our data. Well, really, no, that's not what's happening. There's no benefit to them of selling this data set that they have on us of not only demographic data, location data, but also like how long we scroll on something, what we tap on, all these other things about us, basically like this voodoo doll they've built of us. What they're doing is they're selling our attention. And so it's called the attention economy. And if you think about it and you think about how deep it goes, the person who kind of started talking about this, who's done documentaries like The Social Dilemma on Netflix and written some books, he was one of the co-creators of Gmail. And he realized how that app, that tool he had built, was taking people's attention. And that was kind of what it was designed to do. So if you think about a productivity email app and how much that can take our focus and attention, then imagine what these other things are doing to us. And so that's the first thing. You got to realize we are the product and we're in an attention economy. Our attention is being sold. And it's not just wanting us to have screen time. It's specifically wanting us to have screen time on their platforms. Now, with that, here's some things to think about. And I know I'm going to sound kind of like a doomsdayer here, but I think if we don't fully understand the depth of the issue, instead of continuing to have this big surface conversation where it's like, yeah, this is going on, but it's out of our control and there's nothing we can do, I think if we really start to understand what's really going on and what's happening and maybe some action steps, we can start to make changes personally, but also I think have better conversations with our kids. Because, you know, we have this baseline that says, this feels off. I need to take a break. This doesn't seem right. That doesn't look right. They don't have that because this is the world they've lived in. And so we kind of have to build that baseline in for them. And sometimes it takes rebuilding the baseline for ourselves. So, again, the attention economy, a few big things I want to hit. Number one, the goal is to make money and nothing else. That is it. Their goal is to make money. And they're not really worried about how that they do it. And so I say that because a lot of times I feel like we've decided there's this mutual benefit. Yeah, they're making money and they're taking my attention, but I'm getting this great content that's educating me, that's informing me. Not necessarily. A lot of times what it's doing it is, again, is it's sending you down a funnel that is specifically built for you. Like you could be sitting next to a person, your kid, your spouse. You're not seeing the same things, even though you have similar beliefs, locations, all of these things. You're not seeing the same thing because it wouldn't keep you on the screen the same way it'll keep them on the screen. Like it's different. It's separate. And so we've got to stop thinking that this is somehow a mutual benefit of, yeah, we're giving up all our attention and focus, but I'm getting informed. Because the second thing with this is, and this has not changed. I taught this when I taught marketing. When I taught government, we would talk about like political advertising and campaigns and the history of that. Anger and fear is the way that you get our attention. And so they are not necessarily going to just feed you things that you follow your topics and interests. It's going to be things that are going to make you click and that are going to suck you down the rabbit hole. So for example, one of the best examples I ever heard was, is like if you're a mom, you're not necessarily going to get parenting videos. You're probably going to get fed groups that are like anti-vaccination groups because either you're going to get really intrigued and get sucked down a rabbit hole, or you're going to like get really incited and angry and go down that same rabbit hole and engage more. Another way I heard this was, a political campaign was meeting with Facebook and because they just wanted to understand like kind of how the platform worked or how they could best utilize it. And so they said, hey, we noticed your algorithm changed. And Facebook was like, how do you know this? And they're like, well, used to, we could post about policy and get a lot of engagement. But now we have to post like these things that are kind of insightful or misleading, you know, angering in order to get any engagement. And so what had happened was, is that they had started to realize like we, through misinformation, things that anger people, basically they get benefit. That's what keeps people on the platform. And so they're not trying to control the information out there or the kind of information, because again, all they care about is your attention and your focus. Now, again, do I understand that there is ways to get good information on there? Yes. Do I understand it can be a way to connect and access information? Yes. But with the technology that we have, we have to understand that at the end of the day, the goal is to make money, and often like anger, fear, isolation, and sadness are the best way to go about it. And those algorithms are constantly pulling levers to make that happen. The other thing I would say too is realizing like because of this whole idea of the intention economy and how it's changed things, it affects not just social media, but video games and, you know, TV platforms and things of that nature. So this is a hard one for me where I'm like, well, you know, I grew up playing video games as a kid and I turned out okay. Now, I could argue I wasn't really okay because at the time I was playing so much during the day. But even then, you know, the games were different, right? It was about buying and owning the game. Well, now it's about you staying on the game, buying skins, buying bonus content, clicking on ads, things of that nature. So even the gaming is different. So we kind of have to approach it all differently and realize, like, this goal is make money. They do that through keeping our attention. And anger, fear, isolation, sadness, loneliness are the best ways to handle that. And to realize this is not a mutually beneficial transaction. It's very much one way. Like, it's almost like going to a casino. They win and we keep losing. And so I say that because I think that's a good starting point to kind of refresh this thing and stop acting like, well, we just need to figure it out. No, we may not need to. We may need to pull off of it or at least have a completely different conversation with ourselves, with, you know, families, kids especially, and so doing those things. So one thing I would say, and it's hard, so I will tell you, I don't have social media for a couple of different reasons, but I just don't. I do have a habit of getting sucked into YouTube every once in a while just because I'm like, I want to veg out. And so I've put some boundaries in place. I've learned how to use the screen time app on my phone to like disable the YouTube app, to block the YouTube, you know, address on the web browsers and things like that, because sometimes I just need that layer. But one thing I would really encourage you to do is to expand your community. So like increase our conversations, our connections, the amount of times that we hang out, spend that time with each other. Whether that's school events, sporting events, hanging out with our neighbors, talking to our neighbors, you know, getting our kids together and things of that nature. And this isn't just because, hey, it gets us off the screens and we breathe some fresh air and we look at the, you know, the sky for a little bit. Yes, that is beneficial. But what happens is a couple of things. One, we build a support system. You start to understand you're not alone in this, and you hear strategies from other people that you did not know existed. And so it helps us to build that. Second thing is, it helps us to understand what's actually happening in the world. So remember, what's going on in your feed may not be what's going on in the person next to you, regardless of how close you are physically, relationally, you know, interest, all those things. And so what happens when we get sucked into these bubbles is we start to like overreact, which makes us angry, finger pointing, tearing people down, demeaning people, but also makes us more reliant on the platform because I need to click and refresh and doom scroll because I might miss something that's going to cause me to lose this battle. And when we start to realize what's going on and you realize like, oh, there's another perspective. Oh, there's a experience. Oh, there's someone that actually like was there or lived through this. And what I'm seeing is not true. It decreases our reliance on these platforms. The last thing is, as I said, just it builds those relationships. Like, it's not just about taking something away. We have to put something back in. Because if you just take something away, let's say from your kids, and we don't restore some relationships and community, then they're going to have this void that they're going to fill even more than they had before with the technology and with these things. So I know this is kind of quick, but that's my goal. My goal is to keep these things 10 minutes or less. But also the reason is there are tons of books, documentaries about how these algorithms work, how this attention economy works, how it's affecting us. I encourage you to dive into those. But more importantly, I encourage you, expand your community. Have these conversations with your kids about these things and how they're feeling and how it's affecting them. Be honest about how you're feeling and how it's affecting you. And then maybe set some clear boundaries and some goals. And I encourage you to, in the community, continue to make this part of your community. Continue to tune back into the podcast. Look for other opportunities and parent trainings we're offering at the school as we continue to grow on this often difficult journey together. The Parent Pick Me Up podcast is a production of the Raider Media Podcast Network. Please continue to check the Raider Media Podcast Network feed as well as SunnyvilleRaiderMedia.com for our many productions that are both staff and student produced.